This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Recording in progress.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihil kareem. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم اهدي قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي آمين يا رب العالمين. وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب. And when my slaves ask you about me, then indeed I am near, ever near. أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعان. I respond to the call of the supplicant whenever he calls upon me. فليستجيبوا لي, so they should respond to me, they should obey me, they should call upon me. وليؤمنوا بي, and they should believe in me, they should trust me, they should have faith in me. لعلهم يرشدون, in order that they may be rightly guided. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is qareebun mujib. He is ever near. He is ever responsive. And so we should continue to call upon Him. And part of our supplication, our dua, because remember dua is worship, should be that we glorify Him and we praise Him. Meaning when we raise our hands before Allah and when we think about putting our needs before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should begin from a place of gratitude, from a place of acknowledgement of His favors, acknowledgement of His greatness, His perfection. And this is why we should increase in our praise and glorification of our Lord Azza wa Jal. And we shouldn't just be thinking about what do I want and what do I need? And, you know, this is something that I want from Allah. Our du'as should not just be limited to demands and asks. Rather, our du'as should include words of praise and glorification. And the thing is that when a person glorifies and remembers Allah, you know, is of those people who are الذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات, those men and women who remember Allah a lot, then such people receive forgiveness from Allah. They receive huge rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the benefits of remembering Allah are at times far greater than the benefits of simply asking Allah, oh Allah, give me this or give me that. And you can get so much more out of glorifying and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than what you can get from putting your needs before Allah and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you certain things. Because our asks are limited to what we can think of, what we can imagine, what we can wish for, or what we feel we need. And our knowledge, our awareness is very limited. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His treasures are vast, and He is able to give us more than what we can even imagine, more than what we can even think we are in need of. So we should, our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it comes to dua, should not be limited to just asking Allah for things. Rather, our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it comes to dua, should begin with glorification and praise of Allah. And as we learn, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said that when one of you intends to ask, then he should begin with the praise and glorification of Allah, and then he should send salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then he should ask for what he wishes to ask. So today, inshallah, we will be talking about salawat, the prayers upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, remember that when it comes to salawat, the prayers upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this is something that we need to do in general also, because the favors of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam on us are so many. So we should be praying for him. We should be showing our gratitude for everything that he did. Especially when it comes to calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making dua, then at that time also we should send salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We learned that Ali radiallahu anhu, he said that every dua is veiled until salat is sent on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Meaning, one of the scholars, Munawi, he explained that every dua is prevented from being granted until the supplicant sends salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So sending salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is a wasila. It is a means of closeness to Allah. It is a means of having du'as accepted. And so we should increase in our salawat. In fact, some ulama, they said that begin your du'a with salawat, and then in the middle of your du'a also send salawat, and at the end of du'a also send salawat. Meaning continue to send salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam for as long as you are making du'a. And in a hadith, we learned that Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu, and Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu was a companion who was very well versed in the knowledge of the Quran. So much so that one day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he asked him that what is the greatest ayah of the Quran? Just like that, he asked him. And Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu, he responded, Ayatul Kursi. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam struck him on his chest and he said, congratulations on your knowledge, may Allah bless you in your ilm. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam expressed his great joy. So Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu was someone very, he was someone of knowledge, someone who paid great attention to the Book of Allah, and he did a lot of tadabbur, a lot of reflection. And so he was able to give the right answer so quickly, without any delay. And Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that I send a great deal of salat upon you. How much of my dua should be sending salat upon you? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whatever you wish. Ubay radiallahu anhu asked one quarter. He said, whatever you wish. And if you do more, that will be better for you. So he said one half. He said, whatever you wish. And if you do more, that will be better for you. He said two thirds. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whatever you wish. And if you do more, that will be better for you. He said, I will make all of my dua for you then. He said, then your concerns will be taken care of and your sins will be forgiven. Allahu Akbar. Now this hadith does not mean that a person should not make dua for themselves at all, and they should only send blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. No, this is not what this hadith is teaching us, because this would be contrary to the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because he would make so many different du'as, and he would teach people so many different du'as as well. So what it means by I will make all of my du'a for you is that I will spend the time I use to spend offering, making a certain dua in sending blessings upon you. And some of the scholars, they explained that perhaps Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu had a specific dua that he would make for himself. Okay, he had a specific dua that he would make for himself. And he asked about replacing that dua with salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. For example, maybe there's something that you ask for yourself on a regular basis. For instance, you ask, Ya Allah, grant me good health, grant my parents well-being, protect me from such and such disease, or from such and such thing from happening in the future. Protect me from extreme old age, from being from becoming dependent on my children, on my family, and things like that. You know, people have certain du'as that they make regularly. So Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu, perhaps he also had some du'a that he would make for himself on a regular basis. And he was asking about that du'a, that should I replace half of it with salat on you, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? And then at the end he said, I will replace it completely with salat on you, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that is better for you, right? If you increase, that is better for you. And when you will do that, then all of your concerns will be taken care of and your sins will be forgiven. Because you see, these are the concerns that we have, right? That, oh Allah, protect me from extreme old age, protect me from, illness, protect me from such and such disease, protect me from, you know, being dependent on others, so on and so forth. There are so many concerns we have, fears we have, and apprehensions we have. So when you send salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam once, what happens? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends upon you 10 blessings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives your sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises your ranks. So if you were to ask for different things, how many things can you ask for? And what exactly are you asking for? You know, it's possible that you're asking for something, like for example, that Allah protects you from extreme old age or dependency on others. Who knows? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may have already decreed for you good health until the end of your life. So, you know, you're spending time asking for something that does not apply to you and you don't know that. But if you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah will bless you in, you know, 10 times more. Allah will forgive you. Allah will raise your ranks. So the dua you make for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is far more beneficial for you than the dua that you can make for yourself. And what this hadith also means is that we should send a great deal of salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of the benefit of sending salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this hadith we see that he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that then your concerns will be taken care of. Meaning if you spend all of the time in which you in which you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for certain things that you wish, if you spend all of that time in sending salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then whatever concerns you have will be taken care of. And these concerns can be religious, they can be worldly, they could be related to you or your children. They could be related to your health, your wealth, your knowledge, your present, your future, your goals, right? Your wishes, whatever it may be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of those affairs. Because when you will be preoccupied with sending salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of all of your affairs because you are busying yourself with something that is far more important. And this shows us that when you send salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you will attain something better than what you could ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for yourself for. Meaning what you get by sending salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is far better than what you can think of. And Imam al-Shawkani explains that if Allah takes care of a person's concerns, then such a person will be free from trials and troubles in this world. Because every trial inevitably causes some concern, even if it is little. And if Allah forgives a person's sins, then he will be safe from the trials of the hereafter. So when you send salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then you get the benefits of this world, benefits of the hereafter. You get protection, you get blessings, you get rewards. You get way more than you can think of, you can imagine, you can ask yourself. Now, there should of course be moderation. Some people based on this hadith, you know, they will mandate on themselves or on their children that you must send salat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at such and such occasion, this many times a day, and basically they don't teach them other du'as that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught. So there must be moderation. We must benefit from the du'as that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us in the Quran, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us otherwise, and we must also send salat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We should do both. Now, when it comes to sending salat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah azza wa jal tells us in the Quran that inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'alan nabiy, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi wa sallimu taslima. That indeed Allah confers blessing upon the Prophet, and his angels ask him to do so. O you who have believed, ask Allah to confer blessing upon him and ask Allah to grant him peace. You see, in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us the status of his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he not only is Allah honoring his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through this ayah, in his life and also after his death, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also telling us, showing us what the status of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is before Allah. That Allah sends salat on his messenger, and his angels send salat on him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is what happens in the mala'ul a'la, in the highest assembly, that Allah and his messengers send salat on the Prophet, Allah and his angels send salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what's happening in the highest assembly. And this is what the inhabitants of the heavens do, the angels. They send salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So all inhabitants of the world, you should also do the same. Because when you will do the same, when you will send salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you will be conforming with an action that Allah Azza wa Jal does. You will be conforming with an action that his angels are doing. You will be conforming with a heavenly deed, with something that is done in the heavens by the inhabitants of the heavens. So you, when you're on the earth, you should also do something that is heavenly, right? Because it will raise you in your ranks. And this shows us that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is praised, he is mentioned where in the higher world, and also in the earth, the lower world, right, in the world, because the Muslims also, we send salat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now there is a question. What exactly does it mean by sending salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? By the way, salawat is plural, salat is singular. Now the word salat, linguistically, it means a dua, prayer, rahmah, mercy, istighfar, seeking forgiveness, hasanul thana, good praise, all right? All of these are included in the meaning of salat. And salat also means prayer for forgiveness, right? That if it's salat, that means you are praying for forgiveness. It also means barakah, a blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows, or rahmah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows. And it also means praise, good mention, to commend someone. All of these meanings are included in the meaning of salat. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that he sends salat on the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does that mean? That means that Allah bestows his mercy upon him, that Allah praises him before his angels, that Allah bestows his ridwan, his approval on him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when the angels send salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it means that they pray for his forgiveness, they praise him, and they ask Allah to bestow his mercy and his blessing upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And some ulama say that the word salah is connected to the word sila, sila as in reward or gift. And of course, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is forgiven. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us himself that لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ, the past, the future sins, all of his sins were forgiven. So I mentioned to you, salat includes praying for forgiveness. Well, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is already forgiven. So what does it mean? It means that, oh Allah, you bestow your salah, meaning your gift on him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what is that gift? That gift is of praise, of good mention, of the fact that he will commend him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the highest gathering, in the mala'ul a'la. And you see, Ibrahim alayhi salam, he made dua that waj'alli lisana sidqin fil akhirin, that, oh Allah, bestow me a good mention among the later people, meaning the people who come after me, let them remember me, mention me in a good way. And everyone has this wish that after I'm gone, when I'm no longer with people, whether it is that I have left them or I have left this world, when I depart from people, they should remember me in a good way. They should talk about me in a positive way. This doesn't mean that we are seeking the praise of people. This means that we are hopeful that while we are with people, we do such good, such excellent, such beneficial things that when we leave them, they don't have anything negative to talk about. Rather, they only have something positive to think about, to talk about when it comes to us. So in other words, you are asking that, Ya Allah, give me the ability to do good when I am among people, that give me the ability to benefit them, to protect them from any harm. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, he prayed, وَجَعَلِّي لِسَانَ صِدِقٍ فِي الْآخِرِينَ, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was granted that anyway. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted that to him, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned, he is praised, not only in this world, but also in the mala'ul a'la, in the highest gathering. And this ayah shows us the high, high status of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah azza wa jal, he sent salat on him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah praises him, and Allah exalts his status. And the angels send salat on him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They ask Allah to bestow his gifts, his good mention, his rewards on him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when we send salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it means that we are not only praising him, but we are asking Allah to bestow his generous rewards, to mention him, to praise him, and to bestow his mercy, his blessings upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And sometimes we, and also in the ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wasallimu taslima, and send salam. Now, when it comes to salam, salam is one of the names of Allah, right? And it means soundness, perfection, safety. So when we ask Allah to bestow salam on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this means that we are asking Allah to bestow soundness on him, so that he is preserved, he is safe during his lifetime. All right, but and this is relevant to the companions. But after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has departed from this world, how is this applicable? This means that we are asking Allah to bestow soundness on his deen, and also to bestow him with soundness on the Day of Judgment. Because the Day of Judgment is a day of terror, and the day when even the prophets of Allah will say, Allahumma sallim, O Allah, O Allah grant safety, O Allah grant safety. So the Day of Judgment is a day of terrors, a day of fear. So when we say that oh Allah sends salam on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It means oh Allah grant him safety on that day, grant him safety and well-being and calm in his heart on that day. And also part of this is that we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bestow safety and protection in the form of protecting his sharia, his deen, his sunnah, his teachings, that they may be preserved and people are not able to tamper them or change them or harm the deen of Allah in any way, because this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dedicated to convey himself to convey to us. So ya Allah, preserve his efforts, preserve his work. So salat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and salam on him as well. And if you think about this, this shows us how very appreciative Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he in the short 23 years that he lived in this world as a prophet, 23 years he spent conveying the message of Allah. Those 23 years, yes, they are quantifiable, right? It's 23 years. You can quantify that. But look at the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bestowing upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is endless, endless. And you think about it. We are supposed to send salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every salah, after every adhan, right? When we enter the masjid. And there are so many occasions when we send salat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is instructing us that we should send salat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah himself sends salat on him. His angels send salat on him. So this is all praise for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this shows us how pleased Allah is with his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How Allah Azza wa Jal appreciates his efforts. And you think about this. When you do something for the sake of Allah, yes, it is a measurable deed. Okay, it is measurable. It is something small. It is something quantifiable. But the rewards that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, subhanallah, bighayri hisab, without measure. And you cannot count it. You cannot measure it. And so, this shows us that whatever we do for Allah, in obedience to Allah, let us do it for Him alone with utmost sincerity. Let us seek His approval, because when our deeds are sincere for the sake of Allah, then our deeds will be accepted. And let us do them in the best way that we can. Don't compare yourself to others. Compare yourself to the guidelines that Allah has given, that does my action, does my effort match what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed? So for example, when you're praying salah, for instance, you're praying in the night. Some people from your family may be going to the masjid every night. 8 raka'at, 20 raka'at. They're standing in qiyam for so long. They come home after 2 hours. And what did you manage to do in those 2 hours? Maybe put a crying baby to sleep 5 to 10 times? And maybe you manage to barely clean the kitchen. Maybe you manage to just pray your fard and pray 2 rak'ah. Okay, you got to do 2 rak'ah, 4 rak'ah maybe. Very little compared to what other people are doing. But the way that you perform those 2 rak'ah, do them with ihsan. Do them in with sincerity. But pay attention. Recite Suratul Fatiha with khushur. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your little efforts. Because yes, your deeds are little, but when they are done with ihsan, when they are done with ikhlas, when they are done with the best of your ability, and they're done in a way, in a manner that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with, then the reward that Allah bestows is very, very generous. And the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is proof of that. He worked for 23 years. And look at all of this limitless reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bestowing upon him. Allahu Akbar. Now there is a question. Why should we send salat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? A lot of people have difficulty understanding this. That, you know, okay, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, he was a messenger of Allah. He conveyed the Quran. He taught us what to do. And all right, nice. You know, why do I have to send salat on him? And why do I have to do this, in great quantity so that I can receive these benefits? And why has Allah Azza wa Jal promised so many benefits for sending salat on him? Well, there's a reason. The first reason is that it is the right of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we pray for him, that we praise him, that we ask Allah to bestow his mercy and blessings and protection and safety on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we ask Allah to mention him, to praise him, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam deserves this from us. This is a sign of love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a sign of iman, of true faith. In a hadith, we learned the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that none of you will have faith until he loves me more than his father, his children, and all of mankind. When a person sends salat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is a sign that they honor the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They respect him. And that they do not hold him sallallahu alaihi wasallam in light estimation. And they have great love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Again, why? But what's the reason? Because look at the favors of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on us. First of all, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِدْتُمْ. Grievous to him is what you suffer. حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. He is concerned over you. بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. And to the believers, he is kind and merciful. This is how the Prophet ﷺ felt for his ummah. That it was very hard on him to see his ummah suffer. He was very eager and greedy for reward, for benefit for his ummah. And he was very kind and merciful to the ummah. This is what he felt for us. This is what he wanted for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that an-nabiyyu awla bil mu'minina min anfusihim. The Prophet is more worthy of the believers than themselves, or that he is closer to the believers than they are to themselves. And in a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there is no believer, but I of all the people am the closest to him, both in this world and in the hereafter. And then he recited this ayah, An-nabiyyu awla bil mu'minina min anfusihim. And then he said that if there is a believer who dies, leaving some property, then his relatives will inherit that property. But if that believer dies, leaving a debt, or he leaves poor children, then let those creditors and children come to me, and I will take care of them. Meaning I will pay off the debt on behalf of that deceased believer, and I will take care of his children on his behalf. So this shows us, first of all, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not just closest to the believers of his time, the companions, but also us, all who believe in him. Because he said, there is no believer, but I of all people am the closest to him, both in this world and in the hereafter. And this includes all the believers of his time and also those who came later. Now think about this. Is there any leader who would say something like this? That whatever you leave of property, that is for your family. But if you leave any debt, then I will take care of that. Subhanallah. Is there any leader, any friend even who would say this? We see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was so concerned for his ummah that he wept profusely for his ummah. In a hadith we learned, this is a hadith in Sahih Muslim, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited the ayah, رَبِّ إِنَّهُنَّ أَضْلَلْنَ كَثِيرًا مِنَ النَّاسِ فَمَنْ تَبِعَنِي فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي. Ibrahim alayhi salam said that, "Oh my Lord, indeed these idols have misled many among the people. So whoever follows me," meaning only worships Allah in my footsteps, "then فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي, then he is of me," meaning that then he is of my ummah. And then he recited, "إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكْ وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ." The statement of Isa alayhi salam, that, "Oh Allah, if you punish them," meaning the people who worshipped Isa alayhi salam, who claimed that he was son of God, "if you punish them, then indeed they are your slaves. And if you forgive them, then indeed you are the mighty, the wise." And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, on recitation of these verses, he raised his hands and he said, "Allahumma ummati, ummati, oh Allah, my ummah, my ummah." And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam wept. He began crying. So Allah azza wa jal said to Jibreel that, "Go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and even though your Lord is most knowing, ask him, what is it that's making you cry?" So Jibreel came to him and he asked him, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told him, "Ummati, ummati, I am concerned for my ummah. Because look at what happened in the ummah of Ibrahim. There were people who went back to idolatry. And look at what happened to the followers of Isa alayhi wasallam. They ended up committing shirk. So what will happen to my ummah? My ummah." So Jibreel went back to Allah azza wa jal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already knew about what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. So Allah said, "O Jibreel, go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and say that indeed we will please you in regard to your ummah. And we will not let you be upset. We will not displease you." Meaning, we will preserve your ummah and we will reward your ummah with such that you will be pleased with. Your ummah will make you happy. Now, this is how eager the Prophet ﷺ was for our salvation, for our protection, that we, his ummah, should not suffer punishment in the hereafter. Think about this. The Prophet ﷺ was more concerned for us and more compassionate to us than even our own parents are. Because most of the time, our parents, what are they concerned about? They're concerned for our dunya, right? Our health, our wealth, our worldly future. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was worried for our dunya and our akhirah, our salvation. We learn that at one occasion, Aisha radiallahu anha, she saw that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, you know, happy. He was in a good mood. So she asked him that, "O Messenger of Allah, make dua for me." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Allahumma ghafir li Aisha ma taqaddama min dhanbiha wa ma ta'akhkhar wa ma asarrat wa ma a'lanat." That, "O Allah, forgive Aisha all of her sins, whatever that she did first and whatever that she did afterwards, and whatever she did secretly and whatever she has done openly." So Aisha radiallahu anha was so happy that she began to laugh. And as she laughed, she dropped her head in the lap of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked her that, "Does my dua make you happy?" And she said, "Why would it not make me happy?" The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied, "Wallahi innaha la da'wati li ummati fi kulli salah." That, "By Allah, this is my dua for my ummah in every salah." In every salah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made this dua for us. For us. That, "O Allah, forgive my ummah their sins. Whatever they have done first, whatever they did later, whatever they did secretly, whatever they did openly." These are his favors on us, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In another hadith, we learn that at one occasion, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was told that, "Ask," meaning ask Allah for something special, because every prophet asked. Every prophet was given was granted a unique request. For example, Sulaiman alayhi salam, he made dua that, "Oh Allah, grant me a kingdom that will exclusively be for me, and nothing like it will be given to anyone after me." And that dua was accepted. So the Prophet ﷺ was also told that make dua because every prophet has a request that is granted. So what did the Prophet ﷺ do? He said, فَأَخَّرْتُ مَسْأَلَتِي إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ I have saved mine for the day of judgment. وَلِمَنْ فَهِيَ لَكُمْ So it is for you. Meaning, my dua is going to be for you on the day of judgment. He did not ask for anything for himself in this world. He saved that dua for who? For his ummah on the day of judgment. And for those who bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah. And he tried to understand the love and the concern that he had for his ummah, for you and I, who never saw him. I mean, what did the Prophet ﷺ get from us? He had so much love for his ummah. We learn that on the day of judgment, the Prophet ﷺ will be granted shafa'ah, the chance to intercede for his ummah. And in another hadith, we learn that at one occasion, the Prophet ﷺ was praying in the night. And throughout his night prayer, he was reciting the ayah, إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ That, O Allah, if you punish them, the words of Isa alayhi salam, that if you punish them, then indeed they are your slaves. And if you forgive them, then indeed you are the mighty, the wise. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued to recite this ayah throughout the night prayer. So in the morning, he was asked that how come, you know, you were just reciting this ayah throughout the night prayer. And he said that I asked my Lord for the ability to intercede for my ummah on the day of judgment. And I was granted that. I was granted that request. Meaning, he prayed for so long. Why? What was his ask that night? That, Ya Allah, give me the ability to intercede for my ummah on the day of judgment. And that dua was fulfilled. He was granted that. So he will intercede for his ummah on the day of judgment. In another hadith we learn, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَجَاوَزَ لِي عَنْ أُمَّتِي الْخَطَأَ وَالنِّسْيَانَ وَمَا اسْتُكْرِهُ عَلَيْهِ That Allah has forgiven for me, my nation, meaning has forgiven my nation because of me, because of my dua, because of my request. Forgiven them for what? Allah has forgiven them for their errors, خَطَأ, for their nisyan, for their forgetfulness, and for what they are forced to do. So they will not be held responsible. They will not be punished for these matters. That if they make an error and they don't even realize, or they forget something, or they are compelled to do something wrong, they will not be held sinful because the Prophet ﷺ made that request. Look at his favors on us. We see that the Prophet ﷺ was eager to convey good to us and to encourage us to do good, but at the same time, he did not wish to burden us. So for example, he said that if it was not hard on my ummah, I would have commanded them to make wudu for every salah. But he did not give that instruction. He did not give that command. Why? Because to make wudu before every salah is difficult. So if you have wudu from before, that did not become invalidated, you can pray the salah. But the Prophet ﷺ, even though he wanted this for his ummah, that they should make fresh wudu for every salah, he did not give that command. We learn about the night prayer, that how, in Ramadan, when the companions prayed behind him ﷺ, they enjoyed it so much, but the Prophet ﷺ did not do that every night of Ramadan. Why? Because he was afraid that this might become mandatory on the ummah. And if it became mandatory, then how would every person be able to pray Qiyamul Layl every single night of Ramadan? It would be hard on them. Then we see that the Prophet ﷺ was so eager to save us from the fire of hell. He said, my example and the example of the people is that of a man who made a fire, and when it lighted what was around it, moths and other insects began falling into the fire. And the man tried his best to prevent them from falling into the fire, but they overpowered him and rushed into the fire. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said similarly, I take hold of the knots at your waists, meaning the waist belt. I am trying to grab you to prevent you from falling into the fire, but you insist on falling into it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so eager to save us. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam expressed his love for his ummah also. There's a beautiful hadith in which he said that I wish I could have met my brothers. And the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that are we not your brothers, meaning brothers in faith? Like, we are with you, you've met us. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you are my companions. My brothers are those who believe in me and they have not even seen me. They have not even seen me. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had so much love for his ummah, even those people whom he had not met, those people who would come much later. So why should we not have that love for him sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And why should we not send salat on him sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Because when we send salat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are the ones who benefit. Amazing. We benefit. How? In a hadith we learn that if anyone sends salat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once, Allah sends salat on him, meaning on that person, 10 times. Allah blesses that person 10 times. In another hadith we learn that 10 sins are forgiven, 10 ranks are raised, 10 good deeds are recorded. Meaning you get instant benefit. You also receive barakah. In a hadith we learn, فَإِنَّ صَلَاتَكُمْ عَلَيَّ زَكَاتٌ لَكُمْ, that when you send salat on me, that is zakat for you, meaning that is a means of purification and growth, meaning increase in reward for you. So you will get forgiveness and you will also receive benefits and rewards, blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We learn, Ibn Qayyim said that sending salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is a means of acquiring blessing. Blessing in what? In one's actions, in one's life, in one's goals. Why? Because when you send salat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then this is a dua that is mustajab, that is certainly accepted. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives reward for this. You're asking Allah to bless the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah will bless you. You're asking Allah to raise the ranks of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah will raise your ranks. You're asking Allah to protect him, Allah will protect you. Ibn Hajar said that of the most effective things that repel ta'un, ta'un is basically a plague, meaning a disease that spreads very quickly among people. One of the most effective things to repel it and to repel other tribulations is to increase in sending salat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You see, one is that a person suffers at a personal level, or they're experiencing tribulation in their personal life. But another is that that the entire community is suffering, the entire nation is suffering, or as today we see, people the world over are struggling because of this pandemic. So when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a community to send his blessings on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless the entire community with more blessings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant more forgiveness, right? So this is how you repel tribulation, not just at a personal level, but at a community level also, that you send salat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So increase in sending salat on him and remind one another to send salat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ibn al-Jawzi said that when Allah intends good for a slave, he makes it easy for him to send salat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahu Akbar. Because when you easily send salat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you receive so much benefit, so much reward. Imagine, sins are erased, rewards are earned, levels are raised, there's safety, so much benefit. And when you send salat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is actually conveyed to him No matter where in the world you are, when you send salat on him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it is conveyed to him. Angels are appointed to convey that salat to him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we also learned that the people who send salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam a lot, then they will be worthy of his intercession on the Day of Judgment. And they will also be close to him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is why, and some ulama, they said that it is the people of hadith who will be closest to him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, on the Day of Judgment. Because those who study hadith, those who write hadith, those who research it, those who listen to it, read it, teach it, then they send a lot of salat on him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because you come across his name so much. And every time you mention his name, or you read it, you write it, you say sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the people of hadith will be the closest to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam on the Day of Judgment, and they will also receive his intercession. So make the niyyah, make the intention to join some halaqa, some class where hadith is studied, so that you can be of those people who receive these blessings, inshaAllah. Then the person who does not send salat to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is actually truly stingy and miserly. He is al-bakhil. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is mentioned and he does not send salat on him, this is stinginess. We learn in a hadith that once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was ascending the minbar, and he said, Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. And the people asked him that, how come you said this? He said, Jibreel came to me. And he said that, may his nose be soiled with dust, who finds one or both of his parents, both or one of his parents in old age, and he does not enter paradise, or he's not protected from the fire because of not taking care of his parents. Meaning, when he found his parents old, this was an excellent chance for him to serve them, to take care of them, and be admitted into paradise and be saved from hellfire. But he did not avail that chance. So may such a person be ruined. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ameen. Then Jibreel said that may his nose be soiled with dust, in whose presence you are mentioned, and he does not supplicate for you. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ameen. And Jibreel said, may his nose be soiled with dust, who finds the month of Ramadan, but then he does not receive Allah's forgiveness. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ameen. May Allah protect us. So every time that we hear the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we should send salat on him. And do not get bored. Do not get tired, because every time you send salat, you are the one who benefits. Even when you're writing the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then make sure to write sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After the adhan, then at that time, make the dua, which is to be said after the adhan, and also send salat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you enter the masjid, Allahumma ghafir li dhunubi waftah li abwaab rahmatik, and also send salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We learn in hadith. In salah, in the tashahud, then we should send salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Even in umrah, when we're doing sari, at that time, we should send salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And especially on the day of Friday, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told us that we should send a lot of salat on him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In the funeral prayer after the second takbir, we should send salat. When we are praying qunut, at that time also, we should send salat. When we're making dua, and this is one of the reasons why we're studying this topic in so much detail, when we're making dua, then at that time also we should send salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When we're in a gathering, we should send salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In a hadith, we learn that when a people gather together and they do not remember Allah in that gathering, and they do not send salat on their prophet, then that gathering will be a means of loss for them. And it is up to Allah to punish them or forgive them. In another hadith, we learn that such a gathering will be a means of regret for them on the Day of Judgment. So make it a habit. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Make it a habit that you say this frequently. When you say this frequently, then even in your gatherings, for example, you sit together, you know, with your family, friends for iftar, and you're talking about different things, make sure to say salat to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam as well. And remember that where we send salat to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we should also send salat on all of the prophets of Allah, meaning when their names are mentioned, we should say alayhi salam or sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Both sallallahu alayhi wasallam, two things are here, salat and salam. So we should do that for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and also other prophets of Allah. Now, how can we send salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? What are the words that we can use? The best words are the words that we have been taught by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself. Because, you know, some people, they have basically invented their own ways of sending salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And even if, you know, in their meaning, those wordings may be correct, the best words are the words that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself taught us. So what are these words? The first, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad. And this means, O Allah, send your blessings, send salah upon Muhammad and upon the family of Muhammad. We learn that Zayd bin Kharija, radiallahu anhu, he said, he reported that he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam how to send salat on him. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Sallu alayya wajtahidu fi dua, that send salat upon me and strive hard in supplication. Meaning when you're making dua, strive hard in making dua. Don't be so weak in your determination or lazy or don't lack eagerness and vigor when you are making dua. Strive hard. And sometimes striving hard in making dua means that you have to strive hard in being attentive. You have to strive hard in showing humility, in bringing tears in your eyes, right? So strive hard in making dua. And he said, وَقُولُوا, and you should say, اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ. So we should also say this when we are making dua. And we discussed the meaning earlier that O Allah send salat on Muhammad, meaning O Allah praise him among the higher group, among the angels who are close to you. Commend him, send your blessings upon him, bestow your approval and mercy upon him, grant him protection and safety. And notice here that we're not just asking Allah to send salat on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but also on his al. Who is al? Al includes two things. First of all, family, and then followers. And this is how the word al has been used in the Quran, for the family of someone and also their followers. So the Ali Muhammad includes his family, so his wives, his children, and also his relatives, but it also includes his followers. Another way in which we can send salat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that we say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin al-Nabiyyi al-Ummiyyi wa ala ali Muhammad. That, O Allah, send blessings, send salat on Muhammad, who is the unlettered prophet, and upon the family of Muhammad, the followers of Muhammad. And then there is the Salat Ibrahimi, which is Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallayta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. That, O Allah, bestow your favor on Muhammad and on the family of Muhammad as you have bestowed your favor on Ibrahim and on the family of Ibrahim. You are praiseworthy, most glorious. O Allah, bless Muhammad and the family of Muhammad as you have blessed Ibrahim and the family of Ibrahim. You are praiseworthy, most glorious. There is a beautiful hadith in which we learn that Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla, he met Ka'b ibn Ujra. And Ka'b ibn Ujra asked him, that shall I give you a gift? Can I give you a gift? Would you like to get a gift from me? And of course, the other expressed his willingness. So he gave him the gift. What was the gift? He said, once the Prophet ﷺ came to us and we said, O Allah's Messenger, we know how to greet you, but how should we send salat on you? Because Allah tells us that sallu alayhi. So the Prophet ﷺ said, you should say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught these words. And they're a gift for us. How? Because when we say this, we are not only praying for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his followers, we are essentially praying for ourselves because we're saying that, O Allah, bless the Ali Muhammad, his family and his followers, and we are his followers. So we're asking Allah to mention us, to forgive us, to bestow his approval, his mercy, his blessings on us. Allahu Akbar. And specifically in this we say, as you have bestowed blessing on Ibrahim alayhi salam, as you have send salat on Ibrahim alayhi salam and his family. And the favors that Allah bestowed on Ibrahim alayhi salam are well known, right? He is the father of the prophets. He is the Khalil, the close friend of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested him and he passed all of those tests. He showed perfect obedience. Wa Ibrahim alladhi waffa. He fulfilled every command that he was given. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was pleased with him. So we're asking Allah to send the same or even more, because the word kama doesn't just mean just as, it also means because. That because you have sent blessings on Ibrahim and his al, you are able to send even more blessings on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his al. Then another way in which we can send salat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that we say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa azwajihi wa dhurriyatihi kama sallaita ala Ibrahim ala ali Ibrahim wa barik ala Muhammadin wa azwajihi wa dhurriyatihi kama barakta ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidun Majid. That, O Allah, bestow your favor on Muhammad and upon his wives and progeny as you have bestowed your favor upon the family of Ibrahim. And bless Muhammad and his wives and his progeny as you have blessed the family of Ibrahim. You are full of praise. You are Hamid, praiseworthy. You are most glorious. Now, why are we asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send his blessings upon the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the family, specifically the children of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because they played a huge role in the mission of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You see, the wife of Nuh alayhi salam, the wife of Lut alayhi salam, they betrayed, these women betrayed their husbands, right? The son of Nuh alayhi salam did not believe in him. But the family, the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam, you can see how Khadija radiallahu anha supported him from day one. How the daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam, they took care of him from the beginning. And then how later on, the other wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how they believed in him, they supported him, they took care of him, and then they played such a huge role in teaching his sunnah. Aisha radiallahu anha, Salama radiallahu anha, they played a huge role in teaching the ummah. So, O Allah, bless them also. And you see, when any person does some work, their family supports them, right? Without the support of the family, without the sacrifice of the family, and sometimes without the suffering of the family, a person cannot do much work. Any, look at the poverty that the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam endured. Fatima radiallahu anha, she was exhausted with housework. She had little children. She would work so hard. And her husband, Ali radiallahu anhu, did not have much to provide to her with. So she went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asking him for a slave, a servant who could help her, who could do the work. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not give that slave, did not give a servant to her. Why? Because other people were in greater need. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made his daughter sacrifice for the benefit of the ummah. Instead, he taught her some words of dhikr that she would say at night, right? For ease. So the sacrifice of the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is understood. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said that, you know, for many days the oven would not be lit, the fire would not be lit because there was nothing to cook, and the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would survive on the two black things, water and dates. So the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they also deserve that we love them, that we remember their sacrifice, we honor their sacrifice, their efforts, and we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them also. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa azwajihi wa dhurriyatihi. Just as the family of Ibrahim alayhi salam was blessed. And we are asking Allah to reward them abundantly and to raise their ranks. So when we make dua, we should send salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And sending salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a means of great blessing, great benefit for us in dunya, in akhirah. And it is a means of relief from worry and grief and anxiety and troubles. Increase in salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is good that we vary the phrases that we use, the wordings that we use. So the different versions that I've shared with you, try to memorize the version that you do not know. And use that also. You know, you may be accustomed to just using one type of salat. Use the different versions that we have learned from the sunnah. Because if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us these words, then every single one of them is worthy of being recited. And each one brings a different benefit. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.